Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Food insecurity is a big problem in Marion County. Let's learn more about it and go in depth with Rachel Cecil and Larissa Van Donsler with Marion County Public Health. Larissa, how many people in Marion County every day don't know where their next meal is going to come from, say the next day? Ballpark.
Ballpark, I think a quarter of Marion County's population does not know where their next meal is going to come from.
No way. It's hard to believe that it's that many. Mm-hmm. A quarter?
Mm-hmm. I think a part of the problem is we don't have a way currently to get a good handle on an actual number. So currently the way we're collecting data is based on the barrier to optimal health. So that barrier could be food insecurity. So we're counting barriers, not necessarily people, and we can't equate the two currently. We're working with our data analytics people with TAF Health to figure out a way to do that.
The quarter, it's just striking to me. That's just a striking number. And Marion County's better off than a lot of other counties.
It is. It's surprising because we are considered a wealthy county. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of resources. We have a substantial population, not compared to Polk, but for rural Iowa. And with the communities of both Pella and Knoxville, there are services. But we are continuing to find people and talk to partners who this still continues to be our population's barrier. And we see that from all sorts of age gamuts, from demographics, and it's surprising. We see that through the school system, senior center, senior citizens.
Yeah. I guess if half of the school kids are food insecure, then I guess a quarter makes sense. I don't know. I never thought of a quarter. Okay, so food insecurity. Why don't we just say hungry? Why did we go to food insecurity?
Because they're different definitions. So food insecurity really, it doesn't necessarily mean hungry. It means there's a limited access to food. We don't know where our next meal is coming from. But it doesn't mean that we're hungry.
Okay.
Now,
that's good.
That is good. However, even at this group meeting, that discussion, roundtable discussion that we had on the 3rd of November, I think it's still identified that people are hungry, and specifically partners who serve children have identified that the children are hungry. And I think they are two different things, but when you don't have food, you don't have food. So.
Okay, and the meeting you're referring to is a meeting that was at Public Health. I was there. It was what was it called?
Yep, so it's a very lengthy title because we're not very original, but the Marion County Stakeholder Food Insecurity Roundtable Discussion.
Okay, and stakeholder meaning anybody interested in helping provide food, help solve this problem in one way or another.
Yeah, anybody who's passionate, anyone who's working with an organization who provides vouchers for grocery stores, anyone who has a food pantry who's providing those foods, maybe they're partnering with the Food Bank of Iowa, and maybe anyone who has experienced food insecurity or is hungry, anyone can attend this. So anyone's a stakeholder. I think we all eat.
Okay, and Rachel, you were the data person. You were sharing some data with us. Do you have any interesting information that you think the public should hear about food insecurity?
Yeah, so here at Marion County Public Health for the past well over 2 years, we've been collecting data on barriers to optimal health for clients we serve. So in about a 12-month time frame, food insecurity was a top one or two barrier of each month, or of 8 of 12 months. So it continues to rise to the top, and it is an ongoing issue. Generally, it presents as a financial barrier at first, and then when we dig deeper, it's really, well, we don't have the money to purchase the food we need. So I think it's not just a food problem, it's an income problem as well. So
more in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about food insecurity in Marion County with Rachel Cecil and Larissa Van Donsler with Marion County Public Health.
Is it a job problem? Well, for the kids, obviously, it's not a job problem, but for their parents, maybe it is, and maybe for older folks that can't work anymore, I understand that. But, okay, so that seems to be a big barrier because if we all have all the money, we're eating fancy or out of nice restaurants or something. Yep. So is it not enough jobs? What?
I would say it seems to be that in the other months. So the way our barriers are categorized is there's a category, which is finances, one of those categories, and then there's subcategories within the barrier. So food insecurity is one. Insurance is another that's related to finance. Insurance was continually a number one or two barrier as well over that time frame. It wasn't as persistent, I guess, as food insecurity, but it was right up there. And insurance seemed to kind of spike during those open enrollment periods in the fall for individuals. So,
well, now
I think I answered your question.
Yeah, I know you did. But well, I mean, I don't know if anybody can answer all of it. Right. But you gave me some suggestions, but I guess the bigger picture is there's a whole lot of people that we know, maybe includes us, but a whole lot of people we know that are a month or two from being homeless.
Right.
I mean, really, is that's, I think that's true. If you don't have a month or two of a lot of people, if you don't have a couple months ahead, I mean, that might be the only savings you have.
I'd agree, yeah.
So why, if I know that, so why am I surprised that there are people that don't necessarily know, a whole lot of people that don't know where their next meal is coming from or that are food insecure?
Right. That's the hard part of it, too, is you have a population, a large population that we talk about social determinants of health and experiencing social determinants of health. And I think that when life comes at you to the point where you are food insecure, you're looking at what do I have today? So today I have a place to live. Today I'm able to receive a meal or something to put into my stomach. I don't necessarily know what tomorrow brings. That could be due to physical health, disabilities. That could be due to all sorts of things, chronic disease. We go back to, again, the physical health piece. And it could, you know, from my end, it could be related to lack of employment or not being able to find a job. Or it could be just due to life circumstances. So I don't know that we necessarily have that data either. But I think that we all know people who are experiencing some sort of factors in their life that take away from planning, I guess, for tomorrow or even a month from now. So rent assistance, housing assistance.
Well, and we might know them, but we might not know the problems they're undergoing. They might not be sharing them.
Exactly. That is exactly it too. Or may not feel that but there's a safe place to share those with anyone. So
I think to an extent too, we live in a culture of like planning is just not something a lot of people do, or it's, you know, it's this immediate gratification. I think we try here to strive with, you know, when working with anyone that we provide anticipatory guidance and how do you, you know, where do you plan to get your next meal from? How do we, you know, if you're going to General Relief to get help with your rent this month, how do you plan to pay up next month? You know, getting people to think more broadly or more long-term.
Okay, and so public health provides that kind of guidance to people?
Within certain programming. So, for instance, our maternal child adolescent health program, we provide direct services where we would provide that type of assistance.
Okay, to get them on the right track.
Right, yeah.
One that they feel is more productive.
Mm-hmm.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about food insecurity in Marion County with Rachel Cecil and Larissa Van Donsler with Marion County Public Health.
So for a lot of it, the meeting wasn't about solving the big problems, why people don't have jobs or the economics of it. It was trying to provide solutions
to the food insecurity problem in the here and now, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Yeah, that would be correct. Yep. It's a group collaboration, and I think just identifying and defining what current organizations are doing and their practices and processes. I think it was pretty clear at the meeting that we didn't know what one another was doing, and we're surprised to have partners come to the table that we didn't even know existed. So,
well, and that's sort of the royal we in the sense that everybody there didn't know what anybody else was doing. It's not just one.
It wasn't just us. It was everyone. So, yeah.
Well, and me included, I had no idea, for example, that there was a food pantry in Pleasantville and I get around.
Right. Yeah, you do.
And so, so it was nice to see everybody there because maybe certain services are redundant, or it's nice to know where some resources are. And so what do you really want to come out of that meeting? And also, and why are we here talking about it? I suspect it's because you want other people at the table.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I would like to see more partners kind of rise up and identify themselves and come to the table. I think that this isn't about finding a solution at this point to food insecurity in Marion County. I think right now this is more about collaborating to identify where the gaps are in service and identifying what problems our fellow organizations are running into. Maybe they have needs that are preventing a type of service that we can think outside of the box and assist with. So I'm really hoping for that element of collaboration, really just kind of developing a matrix to help identify who everyone is. And to me, everything's about relationships and building those relationships with partners so we've got names to faces and have those conversations of what is it that you need, where are your deficits, and how can we help? So providing those solutions to those barriers and those gaps.
Okay, and so if I'm remembering right, some of the people at the table were, you know, it was a big table, I mean, county and city, variety of assistance organizations, churches, pantries, who else am I missing?
Yeah, school. Was there.
And so I guess why I'm saying that is for examples, let's say that a church is doing something to feed the hungry on Thursday nights or something, maybe they'd be interested in talking and seeing who else is doing what then. Is that part of what you want to happen?
Definitely. Yeah, we're hoping that we can help facilitate, we as in public health can help facilitate a cohesive system so we're not duplicating efforts and everyone's, you know, on the same page. We can provide some, you know, clear, streamlined services.
I know that it went beyond just food. There was also heating assistance in the winter. You sort of wanted, I think you said this, Larissa, you wanted to sort of build a central kind of place for people to get the information and maybe a phone number to call. Where are we with that?
That is, I think we're closer than we were a month ago, but since I've been here at Marion County Public Health, going on about a year and a half, that has been the central theme that I have heard since I even started, and I've heard that from partners. It's really identifying kind of a hub, so to speak, of who has this information and how is it disseminated for people and partners. So if a client is to call someplace, do they know, are they being provided with the information that they're requesting? We're finding that with all of the great things that are happening in Marion County, there's still gaps and there's still things that are unidentified for services. So if we can help bring that together, and that's not even on, I mean, that's even bigger than the food insecurity front. I mean, that could be for any service provided throughout Marion County. This morning, we even had some inquiries about Christmas gift baskets and gift assistance over the holidays. We're kind of scrambling internally, trying to get this information because it's not easily accessed or provided. And so it's being able to kind of, and that's just an idea or something we're working on, but being able to provide that, you know, collect it, put it together, provide it, and then we can share that with partners and clients. And then hopefully they can share it with their partners and clients. So it kind of networks.
I think this is not something unique to Marion County. So in some of our programming, you know, we serve in maternal child health, we serve 10 county service area, and I go to meetings in other counties and we hear the same things. as far as, you know, streamlining services and how to do like a one-stop shop or, you know, a phone number where people can call. So,
okay, because I'm just thinking about the kinds of help that I know that you provide and some of the other agencies and organizations that were there. Aside from like emergency health care that maybe public health is taking on the role where I can say, hey, I'm hungry, my kids are hungry, where do I go? I can't pay my heating bill, where do I go? My spouse is having depression, mm-hmm. where do I go?
Yep.
I'm getting beaten up, but then they should call the police.
Yeah, they should call the police, yeah.
But I mean, there's lots of different things that you can help. Is that the goal? Are you working toward public health being that central place?
Yeah, so we do currently have this no wrong door policy where anyone who walks in our doors, we will attempt to assist them the best way we can. We might not provide that direct service, but we can link them to someone who does. So we do try to be the keeper of the knowledge for community resources in you know, link people as they come in. And, you know, a lot of times I don't know that people know to come here. I think we saw a rise in that when DHS closed, that more individuals started coming to us and identifying us as DHS. And we do a little education piece on we're not DHS, but we can help you with those things that DHS, you know, taking those applications and sending them off for people. But even more than that, we can link them to more social determinant of health pieces than just do you need to sign up for Medicaid. So.
I like that. What did you say? No closed door?
No wrong door.
No wrong door. No
Which is kind door. Of, it doesn't really make sense because it should be like the door. Like you can only come in one entrance of our building. So,
so
that's the no wrong door.
That's the no wrong door. Okay. So, and the important point here is that anybody that's providing any kinds of services, church, government organization, school, whatever, you'd like them to reach out and call you at public health.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we can, you know, we want to be, as Rachel said, we want to be able to assist in getting the word out about their services too. So we don't, and we won't ever turn anyone away. People come here looking for solutions. That is not always our role, but we definitely want to be a hub of information so we can refer them to those solutions.
Thanks to Rachel Cecil and Larissa Van Donsler for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.